The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. It is Wednesday, the 12th of May, 2021. You're tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. That must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And today we are doing an official debate review. We are reviewing the first debate in the National Political Debate Series hosted by University of the Bahamas and partnering with Verizon Media Group, along with a number of local companies and organizations to bring this debate experience to Bahamians. My guest today is Mr. Cecil Newry from CNNN, which is Cecil Newry News Network. They don't pay you. I used to work for them. They don't pay you. They don't pay any bills. It's the best Bahamian company I ever worked for. They always have tea bag in the snack room. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning this morning.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. It's always good to be on your show, especially so early in the morning.
Well, look here. I wanted to talk a little bit about what's in the news before we got into the debate, because to be honest with you, I could announce the debate results right now. It is obvious that the
Saxons won?
The FNM won.
Oh.
And the Saxons came second.
Oh, okay.
Because the Valley don't compete no more.
No, the Valley doesn't participate in Junkanoo anymore.
Right. Or anything. Okay. Because this was a little shake-up, rah-rah-rah last night. But even despite that glaring and obvious win by the FNM at last night's debate, FNM senior leaders insist on coming into the media and attempting to lose.
Lord.
They just want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they had such a good win. They didn't even have to show up last night.
To win. Yet, this morning.
They just, on the paper, trying to lose.
It takes effort.
Yeah. It takes a lot of effort, apparently.
And the effort was not determined.
Yeah. I am trying to figure out why the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Public Works dismiss calls from United Nations human rights experts to halt the demolition of the farm shanty town on Abaco, and said plans are in place to begin a similar exercise on New Providence very soon. I have a big problem with this.
You have a problem with that?
Yeah, because we have a shelter in place order.
We do?
Yeah, because at 10 p.m., you are ordered to shelter in place.
But the hell with the courts. Can I say that?
No, you can't use the word hell. Like the whole sentence seems fine, but no, it's that one word that's problematic.
So can we say frig?
No, but we could say, let us forget.
The courts?
Yeah. Like the political class has forgotten the rule of law.
Ah.
We could do that.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Say it again.
Let us forget the courts.
Let's forget the courts.
Like the political class.
So I can echo the Deputy Prime Minister and say, let us forget the courts.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
There you go.
And the rule of law.
And the rule of law in the Bahamas, because we don't follow it anyway.
Right. I mean, when we want to, we follow it. Not all the time. But I'm thinking, if you were in the midst of a pandemic.
Crisis.
And a pandemic, a health crisis, an economic crisis. I would not be destroying homes.
You different, though, because you don't understand the psyche and the social problem we have in the Bahamas. because the behemoths are crying to destroy the homes. And our proud politicians, being who they are following that demand. It's election season. Someone's home got to be destroyed for the sake of politics.
But I can tell you what, I bet you there are a lot of homes on Frank Watson Boulevard, because that's like a shanty road that just pop up out of nowhere. Or maybe it's just a name that popped out of nowhere. But I could think of a number of homes in areas that could technically be described as shanty towns.
Like Peter Street?
No, like Peter Nygaard's house.
Ah.
We could tear that down.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we clamoring for those types of homes that have been built outside of the state's regulations for adequate housing? Why we don't demand that they get torn down?
Hmm.
Why is it just the houses that we think Bahamians don't live in?
But Laifuki is not a part of the Bahamas, though. How can we don't have no jurisdiction over there?
Boy, I think you're correct.
See, there you go.
Because I was trying to go to Laifuki the other day, and I put in for my visa, because like you need a travel visa to go to Laifuki. I put in for my visa, and in fact, I called the security station right before I was pulling up to enter Laifuki.
And the immigration and customs officers there said what?
They still ain't get the results. They still ain't get the form at the gate to say that, you know, my thing's been processed and I could come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, look at all these similarities, Cecil.
Denied entry.
Anyway, I am very concerned. And I could be honest, you couldn't have thought I would be more concerned by this than I was by the statements by Ellsworth Johnson, minister responsible for immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm shocked.
Why are you shocked over Bannister when Ellsworth Johnson's commentary is similar?
Well, I was shocked about Ellsworth Johnson's commentary because...
Who's a human rights activist, by the way.
Right. The bulk of his work, as far as I knew, was sort of migration rights
issues. This is what he's known for in the Bahamas.
Right. So such a strong statement.
Politics.
Political culture.
Yes.
But for Bannister to then come around
Deputy Prime Minister?
No, see, this is it. And this is a part of the problem, right? Why is it that we keep putting this deputy prime minister in the front of his name? Is it to give the weight?
Credence.
Right. Is it to give it more authority?
Yes.
But there is no such thing as the office of the deputy prime minister. The Constitution didn't create it.
What?
Right? And so it makes me feel like you just putting these words in the front here to make, like we just refer to him to make the word seem stronger. But why are you demolishing, first of all, why did he call it illegal shanties on New Providence? Are there shanties that are legal? Let's get in there.
Cannot be it's like an oxymoron, a double negative, you think?
Well, I think...
A shanty is illegal.
Anytime, right.
But we have Bahamian shanties that aren't illegal.
Are they or aren't they?
Well, they've been there for decades.
Well, here's the thing. I think only the courts could make the determination, right? Courts make the determination.
Of being illegal or being a shanty?
Well, look here, at this point, I don't know.
Mm.
It just seems like a bunch of classism.
And what do you say about the courts again? The expression that our...
Forget them.
Forget them.
Like the rule of law.
Yeah, man. We can pull through anyway.
Means nothing.
We ain't going to wait and tarry for the court order. We in charge. What can the judge do us?
I mean, the judge could order that your house get torn down.
True.
Like the whole matter here. And then again, we have a problem with enforcing... And see, right now, ReEarth is trying to get the Bahamian government to enforce an order from the courts from 2014 to shut down Blackbeard's Key. Right?
Back to what I said when politicians could tell a judge. What do you want to use again? Because I keep on coming to hell with it. Right? And I'm trying to use a political
record.
Forget the courts. Forget the courts.
It's such a strong word. Anyway, Cecil, I got some texts here. First text says, Aaron, I am an advocate for the debate. I watched and had to change the channel after 20 to 25 minutes. It was terrible. PLP or FNM will win the election. Three parties were horrible. Listen, I'm glad you didn't call the three parties' name right away, because I really want to offer critique in this show today about what I saw on the debate stage last night. Look at me carrying on like I could debate on the debate stage last night. But I'm trying to find a way to make this critique constructive and helpful, and a way to use humor to bring the strong points across without having the people we're talking about feel like we're trying to embarrass them.
And that's important.
Yeah, that's very important, right? Because it's important to encourage young people and not so young people all the time.
Yes.
Right? Everybody make mistakes. And I can be honest, in the Bahamas, it's nothing that I could critique them young people about last night that was worse than the performance we've seen so far from both the sitting government and the royal opposition.
But there's no heckling and all beating on the table.
Right, so right away they win.
Yeah.
There's a degree of decorum.
They had better decorum than the House of Assembly.
And despite their capacity to understand the questions or deliver on the answers, they took it seriously.
Yes. Unlike the House Assembly again.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, 6 months out of the month, I try to ignore things, and the other part of the 6 months, I try to do my own business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I know how that is. Let's get back to these texts before we get into that debate, though. We're coming soon. LOL, the police can't go into that key unless they ask. Another text. So, Aaron, I need housing. Are you okay with me building anything I want because of the pandemic? You guys need to stop defending criminals. I can't build anywhere I want. I'm going to show you a vibe texter. And I'm pausing, slowing down to moderate myself. Human lives are always more important than property. A human life is more important than the deed you have on a piece of property. A human life, the ability to house oneself, right? All of these things, these things are more important than this perceived right or sense of ownership you have over a piece of land that A, you cannot defend, and B, by law, you cannot defend, right, from the state. Because when the state decides that they want your land, they're going to acquire it. And they're going to compensate you. And the law says that they have to compensate you adequately. But you go ask Bahamians about that experience, right? And tell me, are you big man enough to say, right, that you watch the government take land from people because they can, but you think poor black people should sleep in the bush or stay in their little war-torn country and die?
You get so because serious just now, this, though. Your whole temperament changed just now about this conversation.
Yes.
I mean, you even get teary-eyed just thinking about it.
We're talking about human life. We're talking about, like, the sanctity of this experience. I'm astounded by Bahamians that think that their property or this false sense of ownership over things they can't defend is somehow should be prioritized over the actual lives of beings on the planet.
But surely you don't want us to look like Haiti.
And that's what I'm trying to tell Bannister now, because this statement make me feel like he think we in Haiti, where dictators could say things like, where dictators could run a country with disregard for human life, where you could treat people as collateral damage in your political agendas. That's, when I think of Haiti, that's what I think of. And when these Bidems say, do we want to become a Haiti? I want to ask them, why are you continually taking us down that road? You think it's poverty is the thing? It's not the thing. It's the style of and level of governance, right, that created Haiti. But you're right. I did get a little upset there on the vibe. Because here I am. I got a whole yard and a whole dilly tree, right? And it's obviously a clearly demarked. And the raccoons, them in the bush, do not give two hoots about what I think I own. And it don't matter that I'm making money to survive off the mango and the dilly. The raccoons don't care. They don't care what I can do.
But it still doesn't answer the questions of what should we do. We can't just leave the shanty town.
No. We can't just leave it there. What we should do is we should ask the agencies responsible, what were they doing when these homes were being constructed?
They were watching.
Ah, and what? Why were they watching?
To see.
To see what?
That.
To see it being constructed.
See how far it go.
Were they waiting to see whether the owners of the property gave permission to the people constructing their homes there? right?
Perhaps.
Because what I've learned so far is that they don't have government approval to build. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that they don't have permission to be on the land. Let's see, we got a caller here. Caller, you're on the clock.
A godly day to this, Doc Univice, along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Good morning. Blessings unto you.
Oh, thank you. Much the same. What I want to say, right?
Mm-hmm. My guest co-host?
No.
My commentary about the debate?
Right.
Yes, sir.
What I'm saying is, right, what I'm going to say, I think it should be more educating the people. We have a law. You're not supposed to build unless you got permit to build on a certain property.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to have electricity unless you get the letter, you get the okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Say it again?
No, I'm saying I understand there are clearly published rules and protocols about constructing homes and buildings in the Bahamas. I understand.
Amen.
I'm not discounting that, but you know what I also know as well?
What?
When an employer, right, hires foreign labor, right, and even if an employer brings in a laborer to an island from another island, that employer is responsible for ensuring their employees have access to government-approved housing.
Wait a minute now. The thing is, there are people renting, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, right? When I was, when I could have seen, we used to get together. If we want to go to an island to work, right?
Yeah.
We would say, where are we going to live?
Yeah.
We must find out where we're going to live.
That's right. And Brayman, when somebody applies for a work permit for a laborer to come into country to work, the employer is supposed to tell the government where their employees are going to live.
Other point is,
the
right?
Employers have a responsibility, and the government knows who is bringing people into the country.
If they went to government to get permission to bring the people into the country, because there are a lot of people that are in this country illegal, and I understood that.
Now, pause. See, we only call them illegal when they are of African descent. When they are of European descent, they are undocumented, or better yet, they are stranded. It surprises me that everybody forget the beautiful story of Robinson Crusoe and the multitude of lost sailors that for some reason got stuck in Bahamian waters during the full lockdown. And they couldn't communicate with anybody, and they didn't know what to do. And they had to eat the crawfish out of crawfish season because they was going to starve otherwise, even though there's 1.5 billion other type of fish in the sea. And BBC did a story on them. And I can tell you what, it ain't like the BBC stories on Haiti. This is an adventure, romance, adventure, suspense in the Bahamas, huh? But we don't call them illegals. We call them undocumented and stranded. The immigration boat couldn't get to them, didn't know that they were there, and was unable to process their papers in a timely fashion. But if you're Haitian, you lock up. You see, the Haitian migration thing is a long-standing thing, though, and we know that a part of what's going on in Abaco started decades ago,
mm-hmm.
right? When the government did not follow up on its obligations to hold employers accountable
mm-hmm.
for their obligations by ensuring that everybody working has access to housing before they get in country.
So, and that leads to another point. Demolition is a start, and I know you have issues with demolishing the shanty towns, but as yet, there hasn't been any type of conversation about the responsibility of the employers, the responsibility of the government, the responsibility of the citizens, and the enforcement of the law.
Yeah.
There are a number of persons who have work permits living in shanty towns. That's impossible. someone should be held accountable for that, and there should be some accountability. You don't negate your responsibility and say, well, it happened. You can't say, like the commissioner of police, it is what it is. Someone needs to be held responsible because they had defense force and other authorities manning the gate to make sure that there was no increase or construction in the farm. You cannot just negate and say, well, it happened.
Yeah.
Someone needs to be held responsible. And now to turn in and to bulldoze people's homes without dealing with those previous issues or showing some kind of system of how we're going to deal with it in the future, it's problematic. It causes problems in the future.
Yeah, it's like you don't really care about the rule of law or people's rights or anything.
Nor the courts.
Yeah.
Go right back to the courts.
More importantly, nor the courts. We got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Say it again?
Oh, that's you, Bremen. Hey, you back, you back.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, right?
Yeah.
If you were to build something onto your house, onto your dwelling, even if you put a wall down without getting permission from government, and they know about it, the inspectors come and check it out and see that you in error,
mm-hmm.
they're going to have you to break it down. Okay?
Yeah.
If I commit a crime in this Bahamas as a Bahamian, I would have to pay the consequence. So the thing is, what I'm saying is, right, the main thing is to educate the people to make them to know what they had done. It's wrong and don't continue doing it because Bahamian's not going to get away with it.
Bahamians get away with it all the time.
No,
it's just the right type of Bahamian.
Some Bahamian.
Ah,
some
okay. Bahamian. All right. That's a part yeah. of, I think that's a part of the problem. The part of the problem
right,
is...
Right now, I have a problem, right? Well, around where I live, right?
People quick, but Bremen, I really want to talk about the debate, man.
Yeah, but let me finish before I let you go.
It got to be quick.
Okay, right where I'm living, right?
Yeah.
People live on a piece of property I own, right? I've been to court. Magistrate Court, they got a lesson, a summons to go to the Supreme Court, they didn't reach yet. They build on the property. Also, on one side of me, they're using a well.
You told me that.
What I know is a well for a toilet.
Bremen, look here. I understand what you're talking about, but that's a really difficult situation because I'm mad at your neighbors for letting that happen. That's what I'm mad at. I'm mad at your neighbors for letting that happen. But you know who else I'm mad at? And I don't understand why you're not mad at as upset as I am. Is it not obvious at this point that we have a housing crisis? A real housing crisis. Where is the response to the government's young professionals housing initiative in the midst of a housing crisis exacerbated by Dorian mm-hmm. and the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd be okay with the housing initiative if there's a disclaimer that said this initiative mm-hmm. is not open to anybody mm-hmm. in any political party,
mm-hmm.
any youth arm of a political party related to a politician by 3 degrees, right? That would have to be my rule. You cannot participate in this if you are in any way related to a politician. If you work with a politician's son or daughter or Grammy, you cannot participate in this because it smacks of, like, what do you call it? Not privilege, but you, cronyism, taking care of my people. I try and entice y'all young professionals to vote for us. In the midst of Dorian and the pandemic, right? This is the same government. The first question at the first press conference for the state of emergency, Jasper Ward asked, what are the provisions for the unhoused and homeless people with a shelter-in-place order? And they giggled
mm-hmm.
and laughed and kiki on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
A high-end housing initiative?
High-end.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, I wish they had talked about that at the debate last night. Alas, they didn't. Caller, you on the clock.
Hey, how are you doing? Y'all guys okay?
Yeah, we good this morning. How are you?
They, I'm wonderful, man. They do want them to talk about real issues or the popular issues that, you know, they believe is popular for the masses. But the real issues that affect us daily is what they ignore.
It's not even that, you know, because the questions had some of the real issues in it, you know.
The questions had it, but a lot of the answers, you could hear that from anywhere, man, in the barbershop, under the deli tree. Those particular answers is what, you know, you constantly hear. No game-changing ideas, man. You know, no true issues that some of those presenters, you know, what I was expecting there, I can hear that in the barbershop. I don't get my haircut. I talk about that all the time. They ain't nothing new.
Yeah.
You know, it's a cycle of something that they hear from their, you know, their elders and their parties, man. That's, you know, basically what we hear daily. You know, but, you know, you want to something in terms of, you know, in those shanty towns, because people are here on work permits, working for people whose lands are owned. That particular land is a private owned land that those people are probably leased. And, you know, have you seen some of the houses that are very wrecked?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen some of those houses?
Yeah.
They're better than some of the government homes around here, man, that those people built up. I think the issue is, you know, you have a shortage of housing. You're not addressing sending those people back. That's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or getting them
regularized in somewhere.
Regularized and stuff. You're not going to address that. That's the big issue, because when you go and knock down, what those people are going to be building in another 6 months because they need shelter.
That's right. The human condition dictates it.
Exactly. So what are you going to do? What I would have done, I would say, you know, if they're down there, obviously they have a housing issue in Abaco, post-Dorian.
Yeah.
No doubt. You know, those people are probably skilled. And some are behemoths, some born here. You know, and they got the skill to build. They're doing you a favor. In reality of building homes.
Right.
And waiting on you to build it for them.
And the truth is, if they are documented laborers, if they're working for legitimate businesses in Abaco, the government should have already, in fact, forget all the first part, the government should have already had land earmarked for potential housing.
And if they are on private property, you know, if it's building against the code, how could you bring it up to court with the existing structures that they
right have? Is that possible, as opposed to destroying all the materials?
Exactly. That's the conversation for the progressive government should be having, instead of doing the popular thing that they know that, you know, hey, it's the shanty town, knock it down because you believe that's the popular thing that everybody wants you to do.
Yeah.
And you have an immigration issue, man.
Now, look here, I gotta go. They can call us immigrant sympathizers right. In a minute.
Clearly you are one.
I mean, empathizer, sympathizer, and advocate for the vulnerable.
I am watching you, Aaron.
Boy, look here. But I don't watch nothing, because I used to be watching things too, like them mango trees. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you're on the clock. Sorry I had you so long. Okay, there you go. Cecil, now is a good time for a quick break. When we get back from the break, we're going to read some of these texts.
And go to the debate.
And then tell one more joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can go to the debate for the rest of the jokes. You're listening to 96.9 FM. This is Guardian Radio. Please stay tuned. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. And we're delving into the debate when we get back from the break.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
In life. life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Good morning, Bahamas. You're tuned into 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio, and you're on the clock with Erin Green on this beautiful Wednesday, the 12th of May, 2021. My guest in studio is Mr. Cecil Newry from CNN, and that's Cecil Newry News Network, one of the hottest bloggers in town. And Cecil, all night I went between your feed and the coverage of the debate. And thank you for that, because I was very upset. Like halfway through the debate, I was upset. I was in my feelings.
And a number of persons caught feelings over the debate. They were frustrated over, which, see, you know when you have high hopes? The debate was awesome. I enjoyed the debate. I was well produced. It was well structured and well organized. And you wonder whether the political parties who participated saw the potential I saw.
Of the moment.
Of the moment. And I think people were frustrated with that.
Right. I am mad at the political parties for not preparing these candidates better for... Like, first of all, political parties, why did y'all buy into the FNM spin? Mm-hmm. The FNM was only trying to spin to get themselves out of the debate. Mm-hmm. This is your tertiary institution.
Yes.
You should have prepared your party members for a higher level of discourse, first of all. You should have prepared them for speaking on a university stage.
Yes. And it shows that the FNM party has no respect for our university.
Yeah.
And then because of the lack of preparation, which was evident, it shows that the other political parties have no respect for our tertiary education. And this is a premier education in the Bahamas and by far can be ranked highly in the Caribbean.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And I am concerned of how our respect to it. And definitely the leaders of these parties need to answer and be held accountable to how they reflect and how they are viewing.
Right. Particularly since it's obvious in the party, the political culture suggests that there's a hierarchy that places young people far lower in the spectrum of power than the leadership, right? Mm-hmm. And several of the members made comments that suggested that they see themselves not as an equal or egalitarian, right? Equal participant in an egalitarian process of running a party or in the operation of governance, but in a top-down power structure. And so that it concerns me even more that given that that's the environment that you're in, that you, the leadership, didn't take the lead and ensure that your participants were ready.
But I want to ask you this. So you just create some framework. Who was the debate for? Which audience? Was it for the elite? Was it for the political parties? Who was exactly this debate created for?
Well, I had hoped that the debate was created for the whole country, the entire spectrum of thinkers, of political perspectives. Like, I'm in it for the politics, I'm in it for the governance, of intellectual capacity, of language use, right? So I had said to a texter, a caller that called in and was upset about what he perceived to be the level of discourse that we're going to have at the event. And, you know, you're saying the intelligentsia or the intellectual class was looking for something in particular. The debate was not for the intellectual class. It ain't. Right? The debate was not for people like me who want a high level of discourse around political issues. The debate is supposed to be for the average Bahamian, right? That's what it's supposed to be for. So I didn't go there expecting to be satisfied, right? Like, I didn't go there expecting to say, wow, that is a rigorous intellectual discourse that I want to be a part of. I didn't go there expecting that.
Okay.
I expected a discussion that would grasp the average Bahamian. What I was disappointed in was that for the questions that the participants had ahead of time, that they weren't able to translate that language, that tertiary level language, into commonplace language when they were answering the question. It's what I expected. Like, the first question was, how do we make a more equitable and egalitarian society, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing I expected was somebody to say, okay, by equitable, we mean everybody could participate with whatever skill set they bring to the table. And egalitarian meaning everybody have equal responsibility in the operation of governance and the development of the country, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I expected the debaters to identify the words, break it down into common language, and then have a conversation with the common folk. Mm-hmm. But it appears as if that, like, they barely understood those words.
We do not have a culture of debate. And you see that even in our House of Assembly, when they debate foolishness, completely off topic, we have a budget debate, and they doing anecdotal type conversations.
But we got too much Toastmasters in the country to not have a culture of debate.
And clearly the Toastmasters are wanting, and they too need to be shamed and say, man, y'all are not doing a good enough job for what the Bahamas is requiring.
I would like
How many Toastmasters are in the House of Assembly?
Right, I think there's too many. I could be honest with you. Toastmasters, I, as a group, right? Because I sit in here, and I didn't say it, Cecil said it.
Yeah,
but
I said
if
it.
You see my face,
C-A-N-R-E.
I say it. Understanding that you are a global organization, right? Members across the world. Cecil is correct, though. The level of discourse coming out of spaces where Toastmasters are, it's not sufficient to make me feel like y'all really, really get what it is that debates are supposed to do. But thank you for that, Cecil, for helping me not be shady. Let's get to this caller, and then I got to get to the text. Caller, you got 60 seconds. You're on the clock.
Hello?
Hey, hello.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with the level of criticism, on these debaters, right? I mean, this is a first-time event.
It's not.
For young people, and based on the marketing I saw first-time, these are young people, most of whom probably never even debated in high school.
Okay, so
I'm not gonna cut you off.
No, I'm not gonna cut you off. Let's talk through it.
If I can make my point, and then we can engage, right? My point is, a lot of the people that are criticizing, they probably couldn't have done a better job, because standing up there on that platform is not easy, right? I think if we're criticizing the parties, that's one thing. Criticizing young people that have the courage to stand up and embrace this moment, I think some of that criticism is misplaced and does not do this entire process of change we seek well.
All right. So
right? You're touching on Toastmasters. Remember, Toastmasters is an organization where you have to actually come and join. And a lot of you, even as parents, are not aware of Toastmasters. I've had no interest in it. And so, you know, if you don't introduce your kids to it, then, you know, maybe it takes them a while, even as adults, to connect with such an organization and embrace that opportunity. And so I think we have to be careful as we discuss this, that we assess it properly, and not create a situation where the next time around there's only two people on stage to engage in this process.
Thank you.
And that's part of the larger problem we have as a society.
Okay.
Where
okay.
We cannot get
Thank you.
The best.
Thank you. I don't want you, I want you to let me, I want you to let me speak, but I don't want to cut you off.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to be honest with you. I tried to find out how young those people were on the stage yesterday.
I heard as young as 19.
You heard as young as 19?
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I don't know their age.
Yeah. I would give maybe one of them 19. I'm going to be honest with you, right?
Right.
I tried to lay the critique at the hands of the people who were responsible for their young party members. See, if they are that young and they are part of a party, their party members and their party leaders should not have let them go on that stage so unprepared. Their their presentations were below standard. They were substandard. Right. If we judge them by their hearts, I'm going to be honest with you, if we judge them by their hearts, the only thing I could say is if you did not have the time necessary because you were working or taking care of people who couldn't take care of themselves, I would give you a blight. But these people on the stage last night were sorely unprepared. These questions they had in advance. And one of the things that struck me was, right? See, because nerves will do it sometimes. They were identifying what they thought were keywords to respond to, right? So there's a question about young people and the economy. And all I got were words about how corruption, ending corruption, will help young people and this and that. Cecil and I came in here this morning trying to find the best way to be polite and honest, right? To encourage young people to continue to get engaged in politics. What we could have done is just run the commentary from the focus groups that they took commentary from post the debate. We could have just run that and let the young people tell other young people how poorly they performed. But none of those young people were young enough to get away with using youth as an excuse for their performance. And to be honest with you, the person from the PLP, I'm still waiting to confirm whether, and I think he said it himself in the debate, that he came home from university.
He came home to participate.
To participate in it. And I wanted to ask him, could you not have zoomed this in and just called Brave name 1,000 times over the phone?
He called Brave a lot of times.
Well, see, I think if you assess them based on heart, you know, and courage, I think that's the best place to start.
Yeah, that is.
We can discuss their level of preparedness, and I agree with some of the things you're saying. But my point is, I think we ought to focus the criticism in the right areas.
No,
not to the point where you
are destroying people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this is not the kind of thing you can prepare for in a month or 2 months, right?
Right.
It can help.
But see, that's the point.
Caller,
that's the point. See, that's the point of why we have to interrogate whether the critique is too strong or not. See, the political culture is the one that has told you, I could bring you a candidate in 2 months from the election.
Well, right.
You should vote for them.
That's a different kind of criticism. That's my point.
But you're saying that 2 months isn't enough time to prepare for this debate. But we should have known who these candidates were from 2 years ago. And it is the political culture that we are also critiquing when we critique these young people who want to participate in it.
But Madam Hostess,
yes,
we're not in the environment where we have these kinds of debates or discussion or discord. If we're still dealing with first-time events.
But this isn't a first-time event. The second point.
Based on the marketing I saw, it said it was first time.
No.
But even if it wasn't, let's say it was second time, you and I well know this does not happen as often as it should.
No, that's...
Right?
That's,
I mean,
yeah.
The only debates we see around here are high school debates, and even those we don't see enough of. So my point is, you can't prepare for this in 2 months or 3 months. The parties themselves have helped to create some of this.
I gotta go.
Let's criticize them. Let's applaud the young people and let's encourage them to, you know, start from today, preparing for next time around. It does take time to prepare this. It's not about memorizing responses. You know, it's not easy to get up there and speak. And anybody who's spoken anywhere, you know, can tell you that. To do it where you're being questioned and challenged on the spot.
All right. Thank you, caller. I got to go. I wanted to give you that time because, trust me, they're going to get beat up. They're going to get mashed up for the next few days. And I want wanted to give you that space to make that case for them, right? Because very few people can make that case. And Lemma ended.
I enjoyed the debate. I enjoyed the debate. I had some quotable moments there, but as a blogger, I look for chaos.
Right, see, and so, this is it. As a blogger and somebody who throws shade, I thought it was fantastic. But as somebody who is trying to do what the caller is encouraging us to do, right, which is to bring to the forefront the constructive criticism, the only thing constructive to talk about is their heart. But this is politics. This is part of. Yeah, right,
but the debate was well put. It's a good production.
No.
So are we talking two different topics?
Well, no. Let me just close this off here. That's what I wanted to say to the caller. The critique is necessary, and the harsh critique of those young people is necessary because we are critiquing them and the political culture that they want to be a part of. And at this moment, it is obvious that they don't even understand the political culture that they want to be a part of, how they have been consumed by it, and how it operates through them. So when you say to me, oh, a month or 2 months is not enough time to prepare yourself for this level of political debate, I can say to you, a month or 2 months' time is not enough time to for a candidate to prepare to run in a constituency. A year or 2 years is not enough time for a candidate to prepare to run in a constituency. See the similarities between the political culture and what these young people manifested on the stage last night. Thank you, Cecil. Let's get to that point you was making.
Go ahead. So I enjoyed the debate. It has a lot of potential, and I'm excited to hear the next one. I can't wait till they announce who they're going to be speaking about. I enjoyed the idea that they were corralled by the chaperones. What do they call them? The persons who were asking the questions.
Oh, yeah, the moderators.
The moderators. They were definitely controlled. There was a control environment. And then I considered the criticism that the FNM party had. And see that it wasn't warranted. And I am concerned about the culture the FNM party is pushing forward in terms of debate. And I'm encouraging behemoths to, hey, this take advantage of this, put in the critique, let's tweak this. This must become a part of our new culture, the new Bahamas, the deepening of democracy. Democracy was deepened in the Bahamas through that one debate. It shows the debate level of our young adults who are interested in politics, what we need to work on. It showed the level and competency of our premier university. It showed the level of competency of our production team and what they can do. And it shows that the Bahamas is ready. And now we are now held juxtaposed to the rest of the Caribbean and to the world. And we need now to push this forward. But moving forward, we need political parties to consider who they do send and how do they prepare, especially if they're given the questions beforehand, that you come with policy. Stick to the policy of the party and do not give your opinions. There's no need to hear your opinions. And if it's going to be your opinions, preempt it. This is my personal party, which is separate from the party itself, but I believe. Yeah. And we'll move forward with that.
Yeah, I was disappointed in hearing so much party platform. And no expression of personal, professional vision, mm-hmm. Right? I was particularly disappointed in the PLP.
Because his response was generic.
No, it was better than generic.
But how can it be better than generic?
It's better than generic because he's campaigning for Brave.
Yes.
And in fact, when he accused Boykin Smith from the DNA of, it's like you're debating Brave. Mm-hmm. I thought you was Brave too.
Yes, there you go.
If you had no hair on your head, you couldn't have told me you wasn't Brave.
Yes. I'm in terms of leaving an impression, I see the COI candidate, I think Ellis, left the greatest of impression, more than the PLP candidate. She has quotable moments that will be heralded in the psyche of the Bohemian populace for a while. In terms of innovation, I see the KGM, I think that's what the name of the party, Kingdom Government.
Yeah.
They had innovation in terms of, it piqued my interest to want to inquire what else this party has. In terms of soberness of the political parties, the BDM candidate, she was conservative in the answer, but she considered each point.
Right.
She bring maturity to the debate.
She scored very high with that grasp of the question.
Yes, she understood the questions.
In attempting to answer the question, mm-hmm. right, voices rhetoric.
Yes. And whereas so the PLP had rhetoric.
Right. She scored low on the flam factor.
Yes.
While
PLP won flam factor.
Without a doubt.
Go ahead.
Right? And I think Boykin also scored high on the flam factor because he's trying to convince us that he too was a young person.
Yes.
But then he started saying things like bar exam.
He seemed to be man and that he should know better at certain
times. And then he tried, he looked like he's going to be somebody with the mace.
Now, in terms of temperament, I forget the party name, but Ellie McIntosh's party.
BCP.
BCP. Their candidate or debater was very well poised. He was consistent. Until the end. Well, yeah, but
then he sounds like he's running hot.
Yeah, but I enjoyed his commentary. They say, okay, it's kind of boring, but it was not emotional. It was not slanderous because I see they had to curtail some of these quotable moments. But I can appreciate all of their contribution.
Now, Cecil, I spent a lot of time with my callers this morning. So I have a million texts.
Read all the texts
to run through, and hopefully we can get to our favorite quote of the night. So, Texas, I haven't forgotten you. Text, we need to make sure that all beaches in the Bahamas become public and have beach access to fight against this new apartheid creeping in. It is not new. It is not new. You'll find that there are some structures where people have built their seawall or boundary wall below the high water mark. It's been happening. It has been happening. Ms. Green, morning. Two straight FNM. But look here, three straight because y'all won the debate last night. Another text, these people had warnings and should not have been there in the first place. Let me tell you something. Children cry, but yet they come. And nobody told you to go back. So, easy star with these sentiments about living beings. Good morning, Aaron, and to your guests. How do y'all know that those structures that were built illegally meets the Bahamas Building Code specifications to withstand a Category 5 hurricane? There's a reason why we have a building code control department. How do you know that any structures in the Bahamas built to withstand?
Definitely the hotels. The hotels here in Abaco was flattened. Not one of them,
right?
Apparently.
And I wanted to say, you know, in talking about political culture, typically a prime minister spends less resources or pays less attention to his own constituency when he is in power, because you don't want to be accused of favoritism, right? But I want to say thank you to Hubert Ingram for forgetting all political culture and convention and paying whoever you paid to build the government complex and all the buildings that stood. I don't even care if you're cheap. I don't care if you thiefed money. I don't care if that was the VAT money we was looking for that you paid them by to build that building. Find them and make them responsible for building all the other buildings. In fact, put them on the Shantytown building team, please. See, y'all around here playing. You were to do, is it up to code? The shelters ain't up to code. Y'all refuse to make sure the poor people's shelters up to code.
The shelters collapsed during the hurricane. The shelters collapsed.
And that's why it's run out. It's all of this energy y'all have for poor black migrant people who are literally doing the work of keeping your economy running. Mm. But you have none of this energy for these by them that like to go meet on Frank Watson Boulevard and have tea. Mm. And things like that. Anyway, that is the moment when I ran hot, so let's get back to the rest of these texts. Text, Israel and Palestine is giving the Bahamian people something to think about. Just watch. This is a matter of who come first, the chicken or the egg. The egg came first because the animal that laid the egg was not a chicken. Evolution. That's the answer. If this administration is into upholding the law, let us know what become of the MHS. Oh, I'm not sure. That's an investigation that the government's supposed to be bringing us the results to. Okay. If this administration is of the Oban files.
Okay.
These are the same. Oh, stop playing the sympathy card, Ms. Green. For years, migrants come in this country and squat on Crown land. It's Crown land. It's not your land either. And in this country, the government finally made the decision to tear them down, and you'll play sympathy card. No Bahamian can just take a piece of land and put up an unregulated building. We have to send a message to these people to do things. People who rent buildings to government seem to have permission to do that all the time, Texter. It's going to be tolerated, and I applaud Mr. Bannister for moving ahead with process. We have to decide, is this Haiti or the Bahamas? Well, if we don't wait for the courts to tell us what to do, then maybe it is Haiti with all of this moving ahead.
We dictate to the courts, man.
These are all the same people, when there's a tragedy, will turn around and say the government did Nothing. Hi, Green and co-host, you and that last caller talking the utmost fool. Whereas it sounds good for government to regularize illegal houses, but you would open a Pandora box with that. We would see an invasion of illegals coming in to build illegally, expecting government to receive them. When the people building Albany broke the largest water lands in the Bahamas without permission to dig, was anybody concerned about all these people moving in without government authorization and the impact on the land?
I don't like where you're heading.
Yeah, I don't like to head out west either. Thank you for reminding me about that, Cecil. You do not have to be able to do a job or a task to be able to criticize it. By participating in frontline politics, people become open to criticism, and criticism is necessary. The party should prepare them for public speaking and for debate. Not the same thing. That said, Toastmasters is not a debate club. It is a speech club, and the Bahamas branches are nothing like those internationally. It is subpar and mimics behavior in Parliament. Well, obviously, I put my foot out there, and so I extend an invitation to Toastmasters, the national oversight body, any of the local bodies, to come in and let's debate about debating and speech club. I don't want y'all to think I just be on the air dissing. Please reach out to me if you in Toastmasters and you would like to talk. We are all out of time. It's 11:02. I got a couple more texts here, but I want to say this. At the beginning of the week, I told a story about being, or last week, about being in the food store trying to get inside with my trolley, and the woman wouldn't let go of my trolley. And I talked about how we would both look foolish in the food store parking lot, breakdancing and fighting over a trolley that ultimately belongs to neither of us. Myself nor she could take it home in the back of our car because it wasn't ours. Why would we be fighting over it? I want to say the same thing to Bahamians when you're considering your discourse or your contributions about the migrants and the housing crisis we're having in this country. Let us not be found here fighting over land that belongs to none of us. What fools we would be trying to kill each other for things that we cannot own. Anyway, I didn't like where I went just now, so now I gotta spend the rest of the day in penance. Find me a mango tree. I'm gonna sit under it. I'm gonna eat somebody else's mangoes. Bahamas, thank you for tuning in for today. The debate results are in. The FNM won. The Bahamian people lost again. Can't wait for the second debate to see what's up next. Cecil Nuri?
I enjoyed this.
Boy, look here, I'm gonna have you back.
Yes.
You be gonna do the debate review for number two.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Thanks for tuning in to On the Clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, Guardian Radio. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next.